Minutes of Fame.
A new scanning device is aimed at helping you get through airport security faster. Here's Chris Barnes.
After testing it for weeks, the Transportation Security Administration has certified 3D carry-on bag screeners built by the Massachusetts-based company Analogic. CNBC's reporting that federal approval means the baggage screening machines can be deployed to airports across the nation. The maker says the machines will speed up the length of time it takes for TSA officers to screen your carry-on bags for weapons or explosives. But they don't come cheap, with each one costing $250,000. I'm Chris Barnes.
The Cleveland Indians keep on winning with their club record winning streak now in 19 games, and they're approaching Major League history. They're now just one short of the Oakland A's 20-game win streak for the AL record and 21 games of the MLB record set by the Cubs in 1935. USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design.
A cabinet cup.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by discussing the National Desert Storm War Memorial that we're about to build and how you can be involved. Then we're going to talk with Army vet Ken Bloomfield, who was at the World Trade Center on 9/11. And finally, we'll analyze the games played last weekend by our Service Academy football teams. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Frontlines of Freedom is proud to be a part of the Eisenhower Center After the Impact team. They really do great things for troops with traumatic brain injury. Yeah, they help NFL players and first responders, too. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now, many of our listeners know that I was a Middle East war planner a little over 35 years ago. In that role, I contributed to a plan to protect our ally Saudi Arabia from an attack by the Soviet Union. Modified slightly, that plan became Desert Shield, the initial defensive response of our nation when Iraq invaded Kuwait and seemed poised to continue the attack into Saudi Arabia. The offensive phase was called Desert Storm. So while I was then a retired guy from Mother Army, it's a war in which I was very, very interested and watched closely. And you know, the AMVET's immediate past national commander's primary focus during his term was to support the funding of a monument to the brave men and women who fought in that war. And now there's a serious movement to create the National Desert Storm War Memorial. And joining us now is that national board's vice president, Bob Adams. Welcome aboard, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, listeners.
You know, I said welcome aboard because I know you were a squid. Tell us about your naval service.
That is correct. U.S. Navy, I was actually stationed on the USS Caron, Spruance class destroyer. Destroyer Squadron 10, Norfolk, Virginia was our home port. We had just came out of the shipyards. I was a young man, freshly married. Got married in New Orleans while we were in the shipyard. Had just finished our wonderful time in Guantanamo Bay, getting all the weapons and all of our systems back up and running. And we got the orders in, I want to say it was early December and get ready to go. We had two other ships ahead of us on point to be in the task force heading over, but a series of issues occurred in their engineering departments, rendering the ships unable to go with the task force. So we were called up quickly, and we were given 3 days to get our family situated, and off to war we went. We checked in to Operation Desert Shield, and before January, we're up in operations and stayed there all through Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and came home roughly around the July time frame is when we made it back to the state.
How much longer did you stay in the Navy?
I actually got out of the Navy that following August. I had my daughter was born in on January 23rd, 1991, while I was deployed over in Desert Shield Storm operations. And after I came home and held her the first time, that was it. I wasn't going back out to the fleet, and they offered me to reenlist, and, you know, no thank you. You know, my daughter became my world at that point in time. So, you know, 4 years back in service, and then 4 years in the reserves, and that was the limit of my naval service.
Hey, you served honorably and well. That's what we hope all Americans will understand, that there's an obligation to serve, not serve forever. But nonetheless, you are a Desert Storm vet, and you became involved in the movement to create this memorial. Talk to us about how you got involved and what is the organization that you're the vice president of?
Well, actually, I lucked into that. Scott Stump and the original founding members of the organization had already started laying the groundwork of, you know, getting the 501c3 and, you know, the initial documentation and support needed to get a bill entered and eventually pass through House and Congress and get presidential signature. But it was actually Scott Stump who had kicked it all off and had started building the group and the team that we currently have now. And I was, again, lucky enough to right place, right time, right gentleman, and right conversation, and led me to where I am now.
Makes sense. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Bob Adams about the National Desert Storm War Memorial. Where's this memorial going to be? What's it going to take? Where do you stand financially? Tell us what we need to know so we can help.
Okay. Where we're currently at now, we are engaged in Washington, D.C., in the site selection and design processes. First and foremost, we can use your regional support. Let your congressmen, let your senators know, hey, we want to support having this memorial built in Washington, D.C. In the site selection process, we're currently down to two sites. One of them is the preferred site at 23rd and Constitution location. We are currently working to hopefully secure that location. And on top of that, we are also working to get the design approved and finalized. We're hoping between now and the October timeframe to accomplish both of those.
What's your time frame? What are you hoping for? Ideally, when will that be?
Well, we just getting the bill signed into law by President Trump. And being in the site selection process, we're now coming out of what we refer to as grassroots into a more corporate level outreach. So that's where we can use that regional support and help. You know, let the companies know, hey, we want you to support, you know, this memorial. We can definitely use anyone that is connected with a company, you know, to reach out and contact us. Hey, my company or, you know, this individual or these entities would be interested in becoming part of the legacy of the memorial. Our timeline we are looking at, we would like to have the corporate fundraising within the next year and a half time frame. We need 110% of the estimated budget based upon the design once it's approved later this fall. We need that money secured prior to us being able to engage the contracts and beginning the construction phase and everything required. So we right now are in our major fundraising period, just at the beginning of it. We absolutely welcome anyone who would like to step forward and help us raise that money.
How can people reach you?
Well, we have several avenues. The website has a contact us. We have an 800 number that's available on that website. We have folks that are monitoring and are active on our social media, Facebook. So any of that, I'm plugged into all of those channels.
And we're talking about the National Desert Storm War Memorial. So therefore, yep. The first letters are the NDSWM.org is the website,
right?
That is correct. Folks, I'm going to support it. I encourage you to support it. Bob, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation back when you were in the Navy. Thank you for what you're doing now. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Well, thank you, sir. And I would like to remind the listeners, the Desert Storm War was a short, brief, and very successful war. But
Amen.
It did many things that we need to remember. One of those we need to remember is that it healed a very big wound in this nation between the Vietnam veterans, the pride that we have in our military. And also, we in the Desert Storm Memorial Association have direct ties and want to remain tied to the Vietnam War. We were raised by those veterans. We were trained by those veterans. We were led into battle by those Vietnam veterans. If it not for the lessons of Vietnam, we wouldn't have had the success that we had. We firmly believe that. Also, we want to remember that almost 400 Americans did not come back. They did pay the ultimate price for the freedom and the liberation of the country of Kuwait. And we also have the liberation of the country of Kuwait to remember and the historical and the educational importance it is to our people to remember that. So as a nation, as a people, and as fellow veterans, please help us. We could really use it. Thank you.
Well said, Bob. And to that, I say amen. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll talk with my West Point classmate, Ken Bloomfield, who was at the World Trade Center on 9/11. Then Quentin Roberts and I will discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. You have reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Troops hit the deck and do an easy, slow 50 sit-ups, holding a 50-pound weight behind your head. Let's build that six-pack. I'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Konica, the German Shepherd that I rescued, was stinky, skinny, and scrawny, full of skin rashes and scratching. And I started feeding Konica Dynavite, and he became such a happier, itch-free, stink-free dog. I dug deeper into the website.
DINOVITE.com.
What if in addition to Dynavite, we do the raw beef and the egg diet and see what happens? Forget all these 50-pound bags, the formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways. This dog's as close to a wolf as you can get. They're carnivores. With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and Super Omega on top of it, it just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit. It's unbelievable. Hey, if you're thinking about rescuing a dog, you got to start them out on Dynavite, DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
Well, here we are again, and
I got to tell you, Jim, this match has me really concerned.
Here we have a powerful heavyweight, a train, weighing in at 6,000 tons. And this hasty lightweight challenger, a car. At just 1.5 tons?
This does not bode well for the car or the people in it.
It's no contest. Every day, people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first, We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure now to welcome to the show my West Point classmate, Ken Bloomfield. He's had some interesting experiences in the military, but some really interesting ones outside the military. Welcome back to the show, Ken.
Thank you very much, Danny.
Ken, you're my West Point classmate. Why'd you go to West Point?
Well, I never knew a whole lot about it. I heard the words West Point from time to time, but never really looked into it until one of my uncles ran for state representative in Michigan and said, I can get you an introduction to West Point. And I said, fine, what's that? And then it went from there. I did a little research on it and found out what it was.
You graduated. Like me, you picked infantry and got it. Of course, everybody who picked infantry got it, didn't we?
That's for sure.
Airborne and Ranger School, what'd you do then?
Well, after that, I was assigned to a mechanized infantry battalion stationed in Neu-Ulm, Germany. I hope I said that right.
Yes, you did.
And it was a nice Bavarian town, and we had a lot of nice hills and things to walk over and ride over there.
You know, I was stationed in Gerpingen, which is far from there, but
for sure,
about 8 years later. Anyway, so you played in Germany, got to – I've heard there's something over there called Oktoberfest that's held in September.
That's correct. And it's something that everybody should see, especially if they live over there.
Yes.
Especially if they're in the Army.
Indeed. So I presume you went to Vietnam after Germany?
Yes. I was promoted to captain on January the 3rd. My son was born on January the 7th, and I got my orders on January the 10th. For Vietnam.
January is a big month for you.
Yeah, full of fond memories.
And you were in the 1st Infantry Division, which is the one I had just left.
1st Infantry Division. I became a company commander, infantry company commander, which I held that position for about 10 months.
That's quite a good job, and that was quite a place to do it. Well, you didn't stay in the Army for a career, did you?
No, I did not. I left 6 years after we graduated, and I went into the financial industry.
Financing is boring. However, you were in a non-boring position on 9/11, weren't you?
I certainly was. I had an office across the street from Radio City Music Hall, 50th Street and 6th Avenue in New York City, and I had a meeting called downtown at One Liberty Plaza, right outside the World Trade Center. And I had this meeting call for 9 o'clock Tuesday morning, September the 11th. So I left my office, went around the corner on 50th Street, got the subway, took the subway down, got in right into the World Trade Center, and I had to go from the subway stop across the big lobby and out the Trade Center door right across the street to my meeting place. I was walking across the lobby when a policeman said, where are you going? I said, I'm just going straight ahead out that door. And he said, no, you're not. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, something is going on in Tower 1, and they want this area cleared in case they need a lot of space. I said, what's going on? He said, I don't know. But take this escalator and vacate the building. So I took the escalator up and walked outside the door, and I'm now in the street in front of Five World Trade. And kitty corner for me is St. Paul's Cathedral, where it turned out it was headquarters for a lot of the rescue operations. But I stepped through the door and was surprised to see a whole lot of broken glass and debris laying around, which was very unusual for the World Trade Center area. So I started to scan, looked to my right, nothing, looked to my left, and through the corner of my eye, I see a flame, and I turn around, and here is Tower 1 on fire. I don't know how many floors it was at that time, huge fires, and my knees went weak. I couldn't believe that such a fire could happen in a short time, and nothing was gone. I didn't hear one siren. So my conclusion was later on that I arrived there about 2 minutes after the plane hit.
Wow. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and my West Point classmate Ken Bloomfield and I are discussing his experience being on the ground at 9/11.
So I stood there frozen. I didn't know exactly what to do. I couldn't go help anybody because I was just kicked out of the World Trade Center. And I saw people waving with huge flames behind them, and then pretty soon there were all these things falling out of the windows, and it turned out to be people jumping, choosing to jump out of a window instead of being burned inside. So I couldn't believe it. While I'm standing there, Tower 2 blows up. I had no indication that there was a plane coming around and hitting the side of that thing. And I was underneath that huge plume of flame that flew out of that tower. And there was debris all over the place and papers and things falling down. I was going to grab a paper to see where it came from, but I thought better of that. So I went across the street and stood with my back against the Millennium Hotel. Like any good infantryman, I was looking for the next thing to blow up so I would know which way I was going to go. I stayed a few minutes, both towers burning like crazy. All of a sudden now there's sirens all over the place. So I just turned the corner and went up Fulton Street to the East River where the Fulton Fish Market was. And that was all built up. But on the way, tried to use my cell phone. There was no service. There were long lines to pay phones, which we had at that time. So I ended up getting over to the South Street Seaport and still trying my cell phone. I turned around and I saw the top of Tower 2 tip and then go out of sight. And I couldn't believe that. I thought, I think I just saw the World Trade Center fall. And so I had to walk back up. There was no taxi, no subway, no bus service. So I walked back up to 50th Street. Got up there sometime later and found out that both towers had fallen. And I didn't know until then that either one of them were airplanes.
Wow. So that was an attack on the United States of America by enemies, Islamists, and you were at ground zero.
I was at ground zero.
And but for the grace of God, you could have been 10 steps in any other direction and nailed.
That's right.
Ken, thank you for taking time to join us today and for sharing those insights. That was a heck of a day, and our country better not forget.
That's for sure. Thank you, Danny.
And thank you for your service to our nation way back when, and beat Navy, pal.
Beat Navy.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, it's time for Service Academy football. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops do 20 pull-ups, all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow. Then take a break and do 20 more. Then stand at ease, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service back into the workforce. In fact, we were recently named as a certified veteran-friendly employer, emphasizing our commitment to hire, train, and retain those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us.
Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We are constrained by geography, and our bases of operation are more limited than our response to Hurricane Harvey. We are working to get as many aircraft in the air as possible.
Acting Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke addressing reporters about the recovery in Florida. Some of the Florida Key Islands, FEMA says, could be weeks away from having residents returned. Florida Governor Rick Scott.
We got a lot of work to do, but everybody's going to come together. We're going to, you know, get this state rebuilt. And this state is a state of strong, resilient people.
President Trump hosting a bipartisan dinner at the White House tonight to discuss tax reform. The White House describes it as a working dinner. The guest list includes three moderate Democrats, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, and Joe Donnelly of Indiana. They'll be joined by conservative Republicans Orrin Hatch, John Thune, and Patrick Toomey, USA Radio News.
Fall is the best time to feed your lawn. With 10% off Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food at the Home Depot. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard feeds your lawn to build strong, deep grass roots for winter when you need it most. So it'll be lush, green, and beautiful next spring when you want it most. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food. 10% off now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 4th.
Allergy congestion. Cut grass. Cat on the sofa. Dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while wearing the uniform, serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. Troops, last weekend, Army, Navy, and Air Force football teams played their first season games. Joining me now is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Take it away, Quentin. Let's start with Army, bud.
I tell you, Denny, let me just say we are enjoying a true renaissance in service academy football. Never have, or at least in my lifetime, have all three service academies been this good at one time. And when we look at Army, it's no longer a matter of ascending to be good. They have arrived, and they are to be reckoned with. They started the season 2 years ago losing to Fordham. This year, they rolled Fordham 64-6 at Mikey Stadium. Army controlled the ball from the opening kickoff. They used a consistent running game propelled by senior quarterback Ahmad Bradshaw. Darnell Woolfolk was also able to play, and they combined for 272 yards on 19 rushing attempts and 3 touchdowns. There wasn't a need to pass, and Coach Monken says, if there's no need, well, I'm not going to do it. And so he just kept running and running. If they're not going to stop what we're doing, we're just going to keep doing it. Bradshaw had a career-long 71-yard run in the second quarter and finished the game himself with 177 yards rushing. They played a lot of young players. So even though they've got some seniors, they still have young players. A couple of young men scored their first touchdowns, Artis Hobbs the fourth and Fred Cooper Jr. And remember, you know, at the service academies, freshmen don't often play. But these freshmen are playing and playing well. So Army rolled over Fordham 64-6. The defense virtually pitched a shutout. They had an interception, also recovered a fumble. So the defense picked up where they left off last year, and Army is ready to roll.
I'm proud of the Army team. Momentum is good. Talk about Navy now, dude.
Again, Navy as well. They ruined the debut of the infamous coach Lane Kiffin, who was last year Alabama's offensive coordinator and has now moved on to Florida Atlantic University as their head coach. But when Coach Niumatalolo brought his Navy football team in there, they were ready to play. And they were able to, they brought the hurricane with them, defeating Florida Atlantic 42-19 in Boca Raton, Florida. How did they do it? Well, we're going to start with the quarterback. It's one thing, that's one consistent theme with all of these teams. They have a strong quarterback. Zach Abey, a junior, rushed for 235 yards and scored 2 touchdowns. His previous high was 114, but he eclipsed that amount this year, going left, going right, going up the middle. And Florida Atlantic, to be honest with you, looked ill-prepared to handle the triple option attack that Navy employed. Their wide receiver, Tyler Carmona, caught a 56-yard pass in the opening half. That was his career-long. A cornerback who was Norua Obinor recorded his first career interception. And Micah Thompson, a linebacker, also had an interception. There were multiple sacks. There were multiple turnovers. And, again, Navy and Coach Niumatalolo just really did not give the Florida Atlantic team room to breathe. When we look at the defensive side of things, Navy forced at least one turnover, really, they forced at least one in 28 of the last 31 games. And so, again, they were able to win the turnover battle this time. They had 600 yards of total offense, and really just it was a thorough thrashing of Florida Atlantic. So the Navy midshipmen are sailing high, and then they sailed on back to Annapolis, waiting their next foe.
I am very proud of that team, considering they had a great season last year, except towards the end. Well, they're starting out this time. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're looking at last weekend's Service Academy football games. Our football co-host, Quentin Roberts, and I are looking at them. Well, Quentin really knows what he's talking about more than I do. Quentin, talk about Air Force.
Danny, Air Force opened against Virginia Military Institute, another of our, they aren't quite a service academy, but of course they are a very well-known, very reputable military institution, and they put out a lot of tremendous officers into our services as well. Well, and not quite as well-versed on the football field, however. Air Force rolled 62-0. They pitched a shutout over Virginia Military Institute. I think it's important to point out that both VMI and Fordham are football championship subdivision teams. That means that's either Division I, AA, or Division II, however you want to look at it. And so they're not 1A foes. But the Falcons did what they were supposed to do at Falcon Stadium. It was their first shutout since 2011, and the defense was the story. They allowed just 95 yards throughout the game, a total of 95 yards. And meanwhile, offensively, they rolled up 663 yards. So when you have that sort of disparity, you're going to have somewhat of a 62-0 game. We can look at either Arian Worthman, the quarterback again, as I started with the quarterbacks in the other games. Worthman was masterful in leading their option offense and what I'll call their multiple offense. Air Force throws the ball just a little bit more than Navy. Worthman completed 10 out of 14 passes for two touchdowns. So now you've got a little passing in there for Air Force as well, as Coach Calhoun likes to vary it a little bit. And when you look at time of possession, Air Force was up 35 minutes to 24 minutes. And when you have a game like this, of course, like I said, everybody's going to get into the mix. So all in all, it was a successful opening weekend for our service academies, Denny, and we've got a lot to look forward to and be excited about this season.
It was. Now, Quentin, now the test. Pull out that crystal ball, dust it off, and talk about Army and Navy playing, right?
That's true. So Army, they have Buffalo coming in next. Buffalo played a tough game against Minnesota, in which they lost 17-7. But they're, you know, of course, Minnesota's a Big Ten team. So Buffalo played them tough. And I think they're going to come into Mikey Stadium again looking to and we'll provide a stiffer test for the Black Knights. I expect the Black Knights to still prevail. Again, they are really clicking on all cylinders right now with Ahmad Bradshaw, with Andy Davidson, the fullback, and a host of halfbacks that they have to pitch to, and a staunch defense. Even though Army lost Jeremy Temp, they are still playing tough Black Knight defense. They are all of a sudden becoming the black shirts of defense over at Army. Now, when we look at Navy, they've got Tulane. The Green Wave are struggling a little bit right now, and so I expect Navy again to, you know, Coach Niumatalolo is really just got it really rolling well. He's got a great program, and I expect Navy to prevail. Again, right around the same score as they did with Florida Atlantic. And it may be a little stiffer test because Tulane is more familiar with Navy than Florida Atlantic was and Lane Kiffin. But nonetheless, at home, I expect the Middies to provide sound support for their football team this weekend.
Amen, brother. I agree with you. Folks, at this point on next week's show, Quentin and I will be reviewing the games played this weekend by our Service Academy teams, the two Quentin just talked about. So, Quentin, thank you for your insights. I'm glad we're teammates. Talk to you next week, pal.
All right. Sounds great, Denny. Appreciate it.
Go Army, go Navy, go Air Force. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to front lines of freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. About 50 pounds to do it. Do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone. But call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, if you want to learn more about the wonderful things the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact does for our troops and others with traumatic brain injury, maybe someone you know, check EisenhowerCenter.com. Okay, team, let's open the mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at Denny@FrontlinesOfFreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Sean from Oregon said, you've mentioned honor flights several times. Obviously, they take veterans to somewhere, probably Washington, D.C. That's nice, but what's the idea behind all this?
Good question, Sean. It all started when the World War II monument was completed in our nation's capital. It was noticed that many of the World War II vets weren't visiting it because they were quite old, and it's an ordeal to visit Washington, D.C. as a tourist. So different groups started chartering airliners and took the World War II vets, sometimes with escorts, so they could see their monument and other monuments around it. As we lost more and more of our World War II vets, the same thoughts were extended to Korean War vets and Vietnam vets. They're a great idea. I've been on a couple.
Patrick said he knows that there are lots of military helping in the Texas flood situation. He keeps hearing that National Guard people are more useful in this kind of situation. What's the difference?
Patrick, the National Guard works for the governor of the state, unless they're mobilized by the Pentagon, then they're federal troops. Federal troops are restricted by law about the things they can do within the United States. Things like law enforcement and stuff like that. The National Guard has no such restriction. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, you may know that I teach part-time at some local colleges. I mostly teach American government. Classes have just begun, and I'm always introduce myself to my students and include my military experience. One student, just last week, asked me if I was ever spit on when I returned from Vietnam because many, many Vietnam veterans were spit upon by unbelievably stupid civilians who decided the soldiers decide where and when to fight in a war. Anyway, my answer was no, that I wasn't, but I had friends who were. I said that I was then a 6'3" Army Ranger, and I'm very capable of wearing a look on my face that says something like, make my day. As a result, no such things happened to me or to any troops when I was present. And because I stayed in the Army, I was living on an Army post where the scum who would spit on a soldier wouldn't last long. So, no, I wasn't spit on.
Well, and thank God for that. My father was in the Korean War, and he told similar stories of that, but it was much less prevalent than in Vietnam era.
Now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 12 September 1814, during the War of 1812, a British fleet under Sir Alexander Cochrane began the bombardment of Fort McHenry, the last American defense before Baltimore. Lawyer Francis Scott Key had approached the British attackers seeking the release of a friend who was being held for unfriendly acts toward the British. Key himself was detained overnight on September 13 and witnessed the bombardment of Fort McHenry from a British ship. As the sun rose, Key was amazed to see the American flag still flying over the battered fort. This experience inspired Key to write the lyrics to The Star-Spangled Banner and adapt them to the tune of a well-known British drinking song. The Star-Spangled Banner was officially recognized as a national anthem in 1931.
And today, overpaid millionaire football players refuse to recognize it. What a bunch of scum. On 14 September 1847, during the Mexican-American War, U.S. forces under General Winfield Scott entered Mexico City and raised the American flag over, Skip, the halls of Montezuma, concluding a devastating advance that began with an amphibious landing at Veracruz 6 months earlier. The Mexican-American War began with a dispute over the U.S. government's 1845 annexation of Texas. In January of 1846, President James Polk, a strong advocate of Western expansion, ordered General Zachary Taylor to occupy disputed territories between the Nueces and Rio Grande Rivers. Mexican troops attacked Taylor's forces, and on May 13, 1846, Congress approved a declaration of war against Mexico. On March 9, 1847, U.S. forces under General Winfield Scott invaded Mexico 3 miles south of Veracruz. They encountered very little resistance from Mexicans massed at that fortified city of Veracruz, and by nightfall, the last of Scott's 10,000 men came ashore without the loss of a single life. It was the largest amphibious operation in history, not surpassed until World War II. By March 29th, with very few casualties, Scott's forces had taken Veracruz and its massive fortress, San Juan de Ulna, and on September 14, Scott's forces reached the Mexican capital. In February of 1848, representatives from the U.S. and Mexico signed the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, formally ending the Mexican War, recognizing Texas as part of the United States, and extending the boundary of the U.S. west to the Pacific Ocean. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and to follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Would-be robbers disguised themselves as members of a construction crew to gain the element of surprise during an incident in Walnut Creek, California. One of the alleged robbers entered a watch shop dressed in worksman's clothes with a clipboard in his hand. He approached the counter and asked the owner to sign a form in order to shut off the power. As the owner was looking at the order, he was taken by surprise as the robber sprayed the proprietor and a nearby customer with pepper spray. An accomplice took a baseball bat to one of the display's cases while his partner attempted to steal items housed outside the display. The owner, meanwhile, collected himself and pulled out his firearm, causing the two suspects to scamper out and hightail in a getaway car.
Thanks, Colonel. This story is a great opportunity for a frank discussion on California firearms laws. After hearing this story, some of you might assume that California smiles on firearm ownership and carrying concealed for personal protection. But this couldn't be further from the truth. Carrying a pistol for personal protection in the People's Republic of California has become more and more difficult throughout the years. California is one of the few remaining may-issue states, but in most cases you will be denied a permit unless, of course, you are part of the ruling class, that is, a movie star, a politician, or a rich businessman. In December 2016, the Los Angeles Times reported that there were just over 79,000 active concealed carry permits in the Golden State out of a total population of 39 million people. Just last month, the Second Amendment Foundation issued its first ever travel advisory recommending no one travel armed to the state of California. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, stated, "The California legislature has been out of control for years when it comes to placing restrictions on the Second Amendment rights of honest citizens. Right now, I wouldn't suggest to any gun owner that they even travel through the state, much less to it, as their final destination. The armed citizen in this week's story was able to legally carry a gun within the confines of his own business, so he was able to defend himself. This man from California did a fine job of fending off his attackers, and Frontlines of Freedom salutes one of the few remaining armed citizens in the state of California.
As a guy who was born and raised in California, you're right.
But it wasn't always that way, was it?
No, it was not.
I mean, you used to be able to have a gun inside your horse and buggy, right, when you were growing up?
Be careful, Stud. But I remember riding to school on a school bus with somebody having his .22 in the back of the thing, and he put it in the back of the classroom and went off to shoot at his buddy's house after school. That was a year or two ago. Our book giveaway this week is another copy of my favorite novel, The Love of Fury by Jacob Allen Richman. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put The Love of Fury in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the fact that radical Islam is much more than ISIS with Dr. Zudi Jasser. We'll also talk with Dava Garin. You'll like her efforts with Vets with Pets. Then Doug Bradley and Chris Werner will share some great Vietnam-era songs that all of us Vietnam vets sang in country. And we'll cover this week's Service Academy football games.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you or your friends had guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Frontlines of Freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
When I get to about three quarters,
when I get down to the bottom,
a couple more scoops,
it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds
free this week at Dynavite.com.
If it's working, don't quit. Dynovite.com.
Smart home technology, meet beautiful window coverings. Introducing Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds has been in business for over 25 years and is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings. And Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So, now you can expect the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled Smart Shades. Choose from an extensive designer selection of fabrics, colors, and textures, from traditional to contemporary. Our smart shades are so easy to use and easy to afford. Get high style and expert service for every budget. Get smart shades from Budget Blinds and Lutron. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for your free smart home consultation. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We are constrained by geography, and our bases of operation are more limited than our response to Hurricane Harvey. We are working to get as many aircraft in the air as possible.
Acting Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke addressing reporters about the recovery in Florida. Some of the Florida Key Islands, FEMA says, could be weeks away from having residents returned. Florida Governor Rick Scott.
We got a lot of work to do, but everybody's going to come together. We're going to, you know, get this the state rebuilt. And this state is a state of strong, resilient people.
President Trump hosting a bipartisan dinner at the White House tonight to discuss tax reform. The White House describes it as a working dinner. The guest list includes three moderate Democrats, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, and Joe Donnelly of Indiana. They'll be joined by conservative Republicans Orrin Hatch, John Thune, and Patrick Toomey. USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with the living herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
Hillary Clinton speaking out again as she's trying to sell her new book, What Happened. Correspondent Chris Barnes has this report.
The failed 2016 Democratic candidate saying she's had a lot of what-if moments ever since election night.
What if I hadn't made the dumb mistake about emails, and it was a dumb mistake, but it was an even dumber scandal? What if the Russians hadn't been literally encouraged by Donald Trump to do even more to disrupt the election?
As she begins a multi-state book tour, Clinton tells NPR in an exclusive interview she's not running for office again, but she'll keep speaking out.
Because we've got a lot of, choppy water ahead of us.
I'm Chris Barnes.
North Korea slamming the latest round of U.N. sanctions, saying the U.S. will face its greatest pain ever as consequence. The sanctions limit North Korea's oil exports and ban it from exporting textiles. North Korea's ambassador said the sanctions are illegal and unlawful. USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
A family reporting a scary incident at a Walmart in California when a man dressed as a woman approached their 3-year-old child.
The 3-year-old was sitting in a shopping cart in the parking lot of the store Monday night. Investigators say the man, dressed up to look like a woman, started talking with the child as the kid's family unloaded groceries nearby. When they saw what was happening, they approached the man, but he took off. It's unclear what the man said, but police are calling the incident suspicious. I'm Jason Campadonia.
A new study says one of the quickest ways you can bring yourself to an early grave, just keep sitting down.
Researchers at Columbia University found that sitting for extended periods of time is a significant risk factor for all causes of death. Researchers who studied nearly 8,000 people aged 45 and older found they sat for more than 12 of the 16 hours they were awake each day. The leader of the study says the clear conclusion is that sitting for long periods without moving raises the risk of death. The researchers recommend getting up and moving every half hour. The study is in Monday's edition of the journal Annals of Internal Medicine.
A huge celebrity telethon event is being held tonight to raise money for the victims of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. The event, called Hand in Hand, a benefit for hurricane relief, will be on all major networks tonight at 8 o'clock, as well as Bravo, E, BET, MTV, and streaming online at Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The event will be live from Los Angeles, New York, and Nashville, and will include many music presentations, including artists like Justin Bieber. USA Radio News.